Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we begin this morning, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come before you in worship. Lord, you are with us always, and yet we are called to gather once a week to celebrate the resurrection, to celebrate your love in our lives, to praise you and worship and honor you for your goodness toward us. But also, Lord, to hear from you and to be formed in faith. So move in our midst today, Lord, as you always do. Draw us closer to you and closer to each other. Strengthen us, Lord, for the journey ahead, and make us into the people who can be a blessing to those who need it around us. In every part of the service, have your way, and we want to glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll please stand, we'll sing, and the words will be on the screen.
Lord of heaven and earth.
This time, Joy will come to lead us in prayer. We have several to pray for today. It's good to have Scott with us in the service today. We're going to continue to pray for his health. We want to pray for little baby Sila Brozig. The Brozigs won't be able to be with us one more time this morning. She is improving, has an important doctor's appointment tomorrow, so please be praying for her. Also, continue to pray for Linda Winandy and her father, Dean. Dean had an ultrasound of his lung, and so they are waiting for those results. And of course, he may have to have more chemo, etc. So please be in prayer for that family. Also, this is an anniversary for Delia today, when she lost her son several years ago. She had to actually discover that he had passed herself. So a difficult day. She's asked us to especially remember her in prayer. But God has been at work in our midst, bringing blessings and good things this week as well, including Barb's birthday. So, Barb, we celebrate with you. And we're thankful for how God is working and just the incredible things revealed. I'm going to get into it in the message by these images coming from the depths of creation. So there's a lot going on for us and around the world, but God is moving, God is faithful, and we are here. So Joy, lead us to the throne of grace this morning.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you with grateful hearts. We're grateful for this day of life that you have given us and for the opportunity for us to gather here to worship you, sing praises to you, and to offer our hearts and our minds up in prayer. We thank you for the wonderful, powerful gift of prayer. And we know, Lord, as believers, we're confident that there is nothing that is impossible to you. You are the great physician. And Father, we've heard those that need your physical touch. And we are confident that you can heal and restore to health all those that are struggling. We promise that we will be faithful in lifting them to you in prayer. We pray for those that this day is a difficult day for them. We pray for people that are struggling with relationship issues. We pray for those that are struggling financially. And dear God, we just know there's just such a myriad of things that people go through that we don't even have time to mention. But we know that you can take each one and bring about good for it. We know that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Your Son Jesus left that for us when he ascended into heaven. And dear God, we know that once we proclaim the name of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have that Holy Spirit living within us. We have nothing to fear. And dear God, we know that we cannot be faithful and fearful at the same time. So let us choose to be faithful. Father, we just love you so very much. We're so truly grateful for your goodness and your mercy. We pray for our church. We pray for each person that joins us in worship, whether here, in person, or online. We pray for those that are thinking about coming here. And dear God, we are anxious and ready to share Jesus with them. We give thanks for your great power and your great love. We pray for the offering this day. We know that whatever it is, it will be sufficient to the needs of this congregation this week. I pray for Pastor Tim. I pray for his health and his well-being, for his safety. I pray for him as he brings us the message. May your Holy Spirit speak through him. And may our hearts and our minds be open and receptive to the truths that he will bring. Dear God, we love you so very much. And it's in your Son's holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. As Joy mentioned, the offering, for those of you who are here in person, there's a plate on the table. You can give as you go today. Also, if you're watching online, go over to fairmeadowchurch.org and click Give Today, and you can, that's an easy way to give. It goes right into our church account, so we appreciate your faithfulness in giving. You can mail it in, as some do sometimes. However it gets here, we appreciate your gift, and your faithfulness in giving helps sustain our ministry. All right, at this time, we want to turn our attention to God's Word. So I'll invite you to stand once again. We'll be looking at Psalm 19 this morning. So open your heart to the word of the Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern his own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins, that they may not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, unless you live under a rock, don't have the internet, and don't watch TV, you've noticed some pictures that have been circulated this week. Pictures from space, and they're creating quite a buzz. NASA has released the first images from the James Webb Space Telescope, called JWST for short. So if you hear anyone talking about JWST, they're talking about a giant telescope. Now, it's the first fruits of a project that was more than 20 years in the making. It's a very large telescope, similar in size to this room, basically. And it all happened with great cooperation between NASA and their Canadian counterparts. And it was launched on a special, very reliable kind of rocket from French Guiana right around Christmas time. And then it flew, catch this, about 1 million miles out into space. Like when you were having kids in the car, when they would say, "Are we there yet?" Just 500,000 miles to go, no worries. Well, now it sits in a special orbit where it's not likely to collide with anything else. Earth's gravity sort of helps it stay where it is, and the Earth's shadow helps to block some of the light that would otherwise photobomb these special images. So, some of the unique features of this telescope are its wings. It looks like a giant golden sail, and it's just beautiful if you haven't seen it yet. And it has many panels, and they form this large array that can gather infrared light from deep space. So they measure infrared photographs at various lengths and distances. These other sensors that are on it measure the light spectrum that are recorded in those photos. So they gather these infrared images that are essentially black and white. They gather the spectrometer information, and then they can reassemble these into these beautiful color images that we're able to see. But in one sense, this telescope is also a time machine. When we look up on a clear night, remember that we are also looking back in time. We're seeing shiny objects as they appeared anywhere from a few minutes ago, if it's light from the moon, to eons ago, if it's distant galaxies that appear to be a faint star. Well, this telescope is powerful enough to see at least a few objects from the early stages just after the moment of creation. And scientists are so thrilled, they can hardly contain themselves. I follow a couple of people on YouTube, and their videos have been quite animated over the last couple of weeks. They get to finally study stars, galaxies, gas and dust nebulas, black holes, and so much more in such great detail that they have longed to be able to. And these nebulas are basically giant star-making machines. They have perfect conditions for stars to be born as other stars collapse. And those are some of the most beautiful photos. Well, here's an example of one of the photos that you may have seen already. It's a stunning, rather close-range photo, and it hints at everything that is to come. So do we have... There we go. All right, so as you look at this picture, your eye is drawn first toward a rather bright light in the center, and you notice that it has like a star formation on it. Now, there are several objects that have that. Those are the stars that are nearby. Those are our neighbors waving back here in our own galaxy, saying, yeah, we're here. And it's got that star pattern because there's so much light coming from those stars that it filters through the breaks in the panels on the array that's on this telescope. So, two things. First of all, it looks cool, right? It looks beautiful. But also, it lets the scientists know, okay, those are our landmarks. Those are the close-by stars, and we love those. Those are great. But what we're interested in is the other stuff. And so then, if you look closer at a more detailed version of this photo, you'll see that some of those blobs in the background, most of those are entire galaxies. Some of them so far away it would blow your mind. Then there are these longer streaks of light that you will see at various places. Those objects, we don't know how far away those are. They didn't really expect this to happen as much as it's happening. But it is a lens effect created by the nearby objects. So if you had a candle or a light going on a table and you took a glass and you looked through the bottom of that glass at that light, it would bend that light, right? You would see it magnified, but not really in its original shape. Well, that's what those are. Extremely distant galaxies we didn't expect to catch any reading from, being magnified by the lens effect of the light going around these nearer objects. We are reaching the limits of my scientific knowledge here, but anyway, it's really cool, and I've been doing a deep dive over the last few months, but it's beautiful to behold. Now, I'm going to have more to say in Sunday school about these images, but we are seeing things that probably no human has ever seen, and especially not so clearly before. Let's go back to our scripture, verse 2. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. Somehow, the psalmist knew that the heavens were laying out so much before us. So much we could learn about creation, so much we could learn about our Creator. Verse 3, There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has set a tent for the sun. So the whole world is looking at these images, and they're losing their breath at the wonder of it all. Our Creator works on a grand scale, and it's time that we try to understand that. But he also works quietly. These essential forces have been in motion for eons of time. We can't even comprehend the scale of it. And even Job realized some of this so long ago. Job 9, beginning at verse 4. His wisdom is profound. His power is vast. Who has resisted him and come out unscathed? He moves mountains without their knowing it and overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth from its place and makes its pillars tremble. He speaks to the sun and it does not shine. He seals off the light of the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He is the maker of the Bear and Orion, the Pleiades and the constellations of the south. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. Amazing. Then dropping down to Job 38, verse 31. And this is the Lord speaking. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons or lead out the Bear with its cubs? Just as a side note, the cubs, what is going on with the cubs? All right, sorry. Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, here we are? I love God's sense of humor there. Because the last time he checked, he was the one taking care of that stuff. But our Creator does operate on a scale that's vast and incredible. And now we're able to see it even more clearly. But people have seen it and known about it from ancient times. Isn't that powerful to think about? So don't think that people long ago were primitive or stupid. They saw the same things in the sky, and it launched a million questions for them. And for the wisest among them, it revealed God's character and God's presence. Well, do you look at the stars at night? Do you get curious and go out and look up? I love looking up at night. During the early days of the pandemic, there were images that were coming back from the Mars rover. And I had just recently had some interesting experiences. So I found this note I sort of wrote to myself. These images from Mars are simply astounding. I was so intrigued last summer having such a clear view of Mars from my backyard. It was so bright and red and just seemed to point beyond this crisis that we're facing on our planet. It seemed like a reason to look up every night. Will humans live there someday? And what are the theological implications of human life extended in our galaxy? Questions are rolling around in my mind tonight as I watch some footage. The wonders of creation are front and center. God has made so many wonders we have yet to behold. Across eons of time, work done by forces set in motion before we ever drew breath has now come to fruition. Thanks, Lord. It's a challenging but amazing time to be drawing breath. And then I quoted the beginning verse of this passage to myself. Well, this has always been within me, and it goes all the way back when I was in college. During the summertime, I was back home in Iowa, and the University of Iowa has an excellent astronomy department. Many important discoveries have come out of that department. So I decided to take my astronomy science credit there at the University of Iowa. And it was interesting. I didn't expect this, but the professor said he didn't understand why Christians objected to the Big Bang Theory. He said it's very similar to the biblical account of let there be light, and there was light. The whole universe essentially created in a nanosecond. Well, he was an interesting guy, and I enjoyed those lectures. But he also arranged for the class to go to an observatory that was well south of town. No street lights are allowed for 1 mile surrounding this building. They even ask you to turn off your headlights as you get closer, if you would. And so we got there, and inside this building, they had a couple of huge telescopes, just massive. Of course, there was a line to see that. So then they had a large observation deck where you could just look up and see the stars. So many of us were mingling over there. And when I looked up, my mind was blown. How many more stars there are than we typically see when we're living in a city. And I realized that the longer I stared at any one spot, the more stars that would gradually appear for me to see. So I had a neck problem by the end of that night, but I kept holding my eyes open as long as I could so my pupils would dilate or whatever they do, so I could see as much as I could, and I was just overwhelmed all night. I just had this incredible feeling. Well, later on, I was studying a passage, and I remembered this moment I'd had under the stars. Genesis 15, verse 5. He took him outside, and he said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." I can almost hear God chuckling in the background. Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So this was Abram's moment of trust and faith in God. Maybe it even helped him imagine eternal life. And this passage brought my experience back to me, and it helped me understand that my experiences of God in nature need to be rooted and grounded in the scriptures, so I don't misunderstand what I'm seeing. The psalmist understood this also. In the midst of describing the wonders of the heavens and the knowledge they pour forth, he suddenly breaks out in praise of God's word. Verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb." So the heavens are important, and they're beautiful, and they tell us so much. The heavens are general revelation. They reveal general things to us about our Creator. But the Bible is special revelation. It gives us a compass to make sense of all that we see with our eyes. So yes, look up, see, be amazed. There's a comet that's passing by. I don't know. In our area, we don't get a real good glimpse of it, but you can watch it on YouTube if you want. Amazing things to see. See what science can learn and discover about what God has done, and see how he set it all up. It's worth celebrating. It's an exciting time to be alive. But friends, also look into God's word. Amen? Look into the scriptures. The Bible tells us much more specifically about God. True science is not going to venture over into trying to tell us that God doesn't exist or tell us moral guidelines aren't important, etc. But we also don't need to fear or question true science. God left these fingerprints behind, these wonders for us to find and to study. And even the Bible tells us that. So we need to take it all in and to learn what we can, yet we need the moral teaching and the guidance that the Bible gives us to take us to the next level. Because we're trying to live our lives, right? We're trying to make it through difficult and interesting times. So is the psalmist, verse 11. By them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Certainly not most people I see on Facebook. I'm just kidding. But we should be trying to discern our own errors before we start handing out all the judgment about everyone else. The psalmist gets it. He says, forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I'll be blameless, innocent of great transgression. And here's the verse that got me. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The psalmist wants to truly know the Creator who made these wonders in the sky. When he sees God's incredible works, he becomes aware of how much he falls short of God, short in obedience, short in wisdom and knowledge. So he humbles himself, and he reaches out for what only such an incredible Creator could give: salvation, life, even transformation. Paul writes that the heavens reveal not only God's glory and power and beauty, but they point us to his holiness as well. And we have an obligation to respond and repent. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. And the psalmist sees this clearly, and he wants his whole life and even the meditation of his heart to be blameless before such a holy and amazing God. And verse 14 really captured my heart as a teenager. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The psalmist knows that it's easy to fool yourself, but God sees things as they are. Let the wonders of creation take you to the deepest place in your heart possible, the place of surrender and obedience and trust like Abram found, so that you can live transformed by God's holy love, knowing that you are forgiven and restored and in fellowship with one so powerful. That can be deeply reassuring. And we need that in these days. Well, there's so much more to say about these images, and I'll have more to say about it in days ahead. But Psalm 19 captures so much of what we can learn from both of God's books, the book of creation and the Bible. And I've always found that reading both is very, very helpful. I'm one of those people that get very inspired when I'm reading either one of those books. And it keeps my heart full, and it keeps my life on track. I've been known to sit out on the patio in our backyard with the lights off, looking up. I don't know what the neighbors think I'm doing out there, but I'm sometimes taking long exposure photos or time-lapse videos of the clouds going by. Or I'm just thinking and praying. But even more like those days back in college when I connected that what I was reading in the Word and what I was seeing with my eyes were there for my inspiration and my benefit. The heavens declare his wonders, and the law of the Lord is perfect, renewing the soul. So can I just say this to you this morning? Please do try this at home. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for writing two beautiful books for us. the incredible book of creation. Lord, we haven't even scratched the surface of what there is to know, but we are captured in this moment by the beauty of what you have made. And Lord, it reminds us that we are blessed to know you at all, blessed to be considered worthy of your love. And yet, Lord, you have reached out to each and every one of us. Help us not feel like it's all too big and swallowing us up. Rather, help us to understand that it's here for our benefit, that we may be encouraged and blessed. And may it humble us, yes, so that we are loving and encouraging toward our neighbor. And may it humble us before you, that we realize how much we need you, Lord, and we truly do need you. But help us to live inspired lives. With your eyes closed, just open your heart to what God is saying in this moment to you. There are ways that we can let this wonder into our hearts to be captured again, even at the level of our imagination, with how great God is and how much he loves us. And also, may it drive us back to the Word. May we sense that call and have that hunger and thirst for righteousness that can be filled as we read your word. Father, just move in the life of each person, each family, those who are here in person, those who are watching online or watching later in the week. Father, bless us and fill us with wonder, hope, and holiness. And just thank you for being such an incredible God. We pray all of this in that beautiful name of Jesus Christ, your only Son and our Lord. Amen. Well, we'll go a little bit deeper with this and have some fun with it too in Sunday school if you can stay. But let's stand together and let's declare our faith before we go. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now go in the love of God, live in wonder, and walk in sync with the God who loves you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If you can stay and join us over here, that'd be great.